We're at 74 right now. Do you need headphones over there, John Rudy? Okay.
I'm good.
Okay, we're just, are they not plugged in?
Yeah, it's okay. I'll do without them.
I'll come around and get that fixed up for you in a moment. We're back with our original Fearsome Twosome from Kingston Wealth Management, Kevin Kingston, John Rudy. We went a couple of weeks without you. We missed you. No matter.
Be a mess. Good morning, Susan.
No matter what Chris Rudy says, we actually did miss you on the show, but you were represented
I'll take
well.
That up with him later.
The important question I've been anxious to ask both of you is because we see things that do affect the markets, sometimes temporarily, sometimes for the long term. So, in the opinion of Kingston Wealth Management, Hurricane Harvey, what has that meant to the rest of the world?
First and foremost, our thoughts and prayers to all the people who are being affected by
Absolutely.
That. Just horrendous. I have some longtime friends there. Thankfully, they're safe and well and minimal damage.
I'm glad you could get through to talk to
them. Text messages are phenomenal, aren't they?
Yeah, they really do make it easier.
I've made some phone calls that have gotten no response whatsoever because the calls didn't go through, but texts work and social media and the internet works. Yeah.
I think the bigger picture as far as impact on the entire country, I don't know that we felt that quite yet. I think it's starting to manifest itself, Kevin, in gas prices. I saw locally this morning we were at some stations were at $2.49, others were a little bit less. But by and large, the actual price per barrel has actually dropped a little bit. It's right around $46 a barrel. But
right. But
you're going to have that reduction in being able to process, being able to get that gas to the consumer. So I would not be surprised to see more increase in the short run here in the next 2 to 3 weeks.
Well, and the output, John, is already down. There's some refineries that are closing output at the moment in Texas, obviously. And so, you know, it's to be seen how this plays out. You know, you could see if that output gets low enough, it could affect that barrel price.
Yeah.
But, you know, OPEC agreed to some reductions. They pretty well lived with those. On the other hand, U.S. production's been up dramatically, so it's kind of about offset each other.
Now, as you've mentioned multiple times on the show before, we have this excess reserves that it's a good time
to
have that. Is that refined gas or is that just oil non-refined that is in a reserve?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I think it's unrefined, but I'm not positive about that. But but there may be a mixture, maybe both. I'm assuming there's probably some stockpile of actual gas product that's ready to go into tanks. But, you know, Chris Rudy made a great point, Kevin. We were talking about it. He said, you know, 10 years ago, this would have been a bigger issue with respect to gas prices. You know, there would have been more shock to the market. But with our production, plus the fact that there's other sources of readily available oil around globally.
Well, that's exactly right. And you look at U.S. production as more widespread today, where it used to be more isolated, confined more to the Texas, Louisiana areas.
So yeah.
Makes a huge difference.
You know, one of the areas, Susan, to further illustrate your point, I think the insurance markets, Kevin, are going to be stressed. It's going to be hit very, very hard, and that's one of the areas we don't know what the impact
is. Insurance companies are already talking about they're not going to be profitable this year, and understandably so.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that as long as more people are getting coverage, because what we saw with Hurricane Katrina, that huge question mark of is it national flood insurance program through the government? Is it your homeowner's insurance policy? And I'm already afraid of how many people are going to be considered flood victims down in Texas that don't have
a lot
flood insurance.
Majority of them.
And that's going to be problematic for
rebuilding. And Kevin knows a lot more about this, but on the actual homeowner side, I think 8 in 10 probably don't have it. I think that's sort of the national average in that kind of area where you haven't really had that kind of flooding historically. But Kevin, I think talk a little bit about how the national works.
Well, there's a cap, you know, on the national insurance. It's going to dramatically affect business owners in addition to individuals, Susan, because I believe the national flood insurance has a cap of $500,000. So you take a company that has buildings, equipment, et cetera. You know, they've exceeded this in the past. This is nothing new. That their claims will exceed those dollars. So then it's just out of pocket.
You're talking $500,000 per claim?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, there was a good article in the Wall Street already this morning. One individual was talking about the last flood that they had in the Houston area. He was out of pocket over $200,000 because his claims exceeded that.
Right.
So, I mean, these are not small dollars that you're going to see. John, I hate to even estimate. I've seen some people estimating the total losses for Houston, which I think at this point very difficult
hard to
do.
Yeah, I don't think they've even – well, first of all, there's more and more coming. And mm-hmm. it's not all done.
It's raining there now.
Yeah, and it's moving to Beaumont and moving to Louisiana. Mm-hmm. So I heard one FEMA guy said, we're not going to be here for weeks. It's going to be months and maybe years before they get this thing all the way resolved. But it's a tragedy. But with that, I will say, when it just kind of shift gears a little bit, Kevin, there's some remarkable news, good news, I think, for the economy in the news today that's been in the last couple of days. And one of the things, I'll let you comment about it too, is, you know, in the last 6 months, with all the problems that seemingly have been going on in this administration, at least reported going on in the administration, there's a million new jobs, 209,000 alone in July. It looks like 237,000 adjusted private sector jobs for August. That's just one of the things that we're seeing.
Well, in that ADP report you're referring to, yeah. The 237,000 exceeded estimates of about 185,000.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a huge number.
Are those full-time jobs or full-time and part-time?
Those are private sector. I think anything over 30 hours would be
right.
included in that number.
Okay. Yeah.
And the other good news is the GDP, second quarter growth, was adjusted up to about 3%. So it was bigger than what they thought it was. It was something under 3, as I recall, in the 2.5 range. So that number was adjusted up to 3, which, you know, that's one of the best quarters, John, we've had in 5 years.
Yeah, well, it's clearly, on a quarterly basis, the fastest pace in 2 years that we've had. So, I mean, it's a, you know, you couple that with some of the other things, Susan, that I want to touch base on. Kevin talked about the GDP. We talked about the jobs. Consumer spending grew at a 3.3% rate that was projected at about 2.8. Consumers are out there still spending. Car sales rebounded, Kevin. We had two quarters where they were down, and now you're starting to see car sales rebound a little bit. So I think you made the point this morning, we were talking off the air, about the fourth quarter typically is a strong quarter anyway, but with this kind of news and this kind of movement out there in the economy, I mean, you have to really take a look at that and say it bodes pretty well for this country right now, at least economically speaking.
Definitely. And, John, I would add to that, you also saw the 10-year bond down to 2.1 this morning. You know, the flight to safety kind of continues with North Korean U.S. Tension, if you want to call it that. And, you know, Trump's tweet this morning, you know, he's kind of taking the bull by the horns, in my view, when he says paying people to extort money from us. And talking with North Korea hasn't worked for 25 years. There's probably no reason to think it's going to work going forward.
Yeah. Well, there's certainly some global issues out there, and certainly it's easy to get distracted sometimes by the short-term run of what's going on in Houston, but we can't allow ourselves
well
to
you just hate it for that population of, you know, the human loss, not only the, you know, far more tragic than any economic loss, but, you know, it's gonna be a major economic impact negatively initially. You know, you look at what happens after the storms over time. Unfortunately, the rebuilding that'll have to occur, you'll see a lot of money spent.
Yeah.
So, you know, you should on the backside, once you get through the tragic loss, you know, it should fuel some growth.
And typically, Susan, with cases like this, you see the stocks in the home equity or the Home Depots of the world, the Lowe's, all these stores that are in that. You know,
the
market.
Suppliers of the
I mean, they're seeing a boost in the last couple of days, and that's to be expected. That normally goes hand in hand when you have a disaster
I'd be looking at the Caterpillars of the world and anybody that can move earth, because there's going to be so much that you're going to have to tear down first before you can even rebuild.
Right.
A couple things that go ahead, Kevin.
I was just going to mention on that interest rate topic, when I mentioned the 10-year bond at 2.1, mortgage rates this past week were also at their lowest for the year. The national average on the 30-year, I believe, was about 3.64, and the 15-year just under 3, 2.94. Yeah. But with these bond rates being driven down, you may see mortgage rates down even a little further.
I think you're right. And one of the things that we did see a little bit of a slowdown, Susan, in kind of a summer slowdown in the housing market. You couple nationally a lower inventory with higher prices. It's kind of put the brakes on a little bit, not dramatically, because we've had such a great spring. But that's really one of the only areas that that we've seen a little bit of downturn. One other point, Kevin, I want you to comment on too before we get to the break. President Trump is still pitching this business tax cut, and I think he's going hard at that message.
And Wall Street likes it.
Wall Street likes that, and it's incumbent upon this Congress to get back to work. I mean, it's just appalling to me that they're away as long as they are, but that's the fact.
I think they're going
to
work all of 13 days in September.
But I think this, we've got to get this, Susan, we've got to get this business tax cut in place, because I think it sets the tone, it sets the groundwork for more momentum, and it actually could be one of those things that could carry us into 2018, and who knows where we go from there. I mean, nobody can predict it. We don't know what the markets are going to do. But when you start laying the groundwork, Kevin, you've seen this before, when you have a business tax cut like this, sky's the limit to what it could mean.
Without a doubt, John. As we've talked many times about, if you can get U.S. companies bringing dollars back into the U.S. and taxed here at a lower rate, it's huge. Illinois should take a lesson on how to solve economic problems. It's not by raising taxes. It's by reducing it and keeping people here, bringing new companies here, bringing people here, not taxing people to death.
Is a requirement of being in the S&P 500, being an American-based company that still pays their majority share in the United States, after you've seen so many companies go for sanctuary in Ireland and other countries where the tax is lower? I didn't know if that kicks you off the S&P.
American headquartered, but it doesn't mean you have to pay all your tax here. So good point.
I'd like them to pay more taxes here.
Speaking of the S&P, we had somebody in this week that was very concerned about, and many people are very concerned about, North Korea's impact on equities. You know, I'm fearful. Mm-hmm. Should I move money out of the market? And once again, I think the resounding answer is no. Don't go to cash or something of that nature. But John, the reason I'm bringing it up is, we were talking about 2000 to 2010. The S&P averaged under 2%. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was a terrible 10-year period. But you look over a 20-year period, the S&P has averaged about 9.2. And year-to-date, that's about what we're up.
Right.
So it's been a very strong year. But had somebody invested a dollar, I was looking for a good, easy-to-remember example. If you put a dollar in the S&P 20 years ago, today it's worth over $5,500. So it speaks to long-term investing. Yeah. Even when there's a 10-year terrible period in there, that 20-year is, that longer-term value is what matters.
Yeah.
So when you're trying to make decisions about your long-term retirement planning, education funding, whatever those long-term goals are, and then you're trying to make a decision today based on what North Korea might do, it's a bad strategy.
Yeah.
We need to take a break, and then we'll come back with more sound advice from Kevin Kingston and John Rudy of Kingston Wealth Management. If you want to learn more about them right away, head on over to KingstonWealthManagement.net.
News, weather, WJBC and WJBC.com.
Just a couple of minutes away from WJBC News, and reminder, 5 to 6 p.m. tonight, Pub 2, we're giving away ISU season home opener football tickets for the game on Saturday against Butler with VIP tailgate passes every 5 minutes at Pub 2 tonight in Uptown Normal from 5 to 6 p.m. When you're at the tailgate, that'll be free food from Hy-Vee and beverages from Coors Light and all the fun from WJBC, and then you're headed into the football game where, if you're one of the first, I guess, 2,000 people through the door, you get a Coach Spack bobblehead. And that's something to live for, Kevin Kingston. Someday you too could have a bobblehead. I'd say you could just put your bobblehead on the desk of all of your favorite investors, and just every time they think about picking up the phone and calling you and saying, I want to move around money, they could look at your bobblehead and
Coach Spack probably loves those.
Yeah.
Something about having your own bobblehead is a little bit different. But your head going to be just bouncing like, it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. We're talking long-term investment. It's going to be okay. We're in with Kevin Kingston, John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management, talking about how the markets are reacting to Hurricane Harvey and everything else that's going on in the world.
Well, you know, I ran across a great story, and we're asked all the time. I know Kevin, Mike, Chris are asked about equities and markets and why the momentum continues to grow. And we know there's a lot of reasons, but I read an article and this writer makes a great point. He pinpoints, says remarkably, the number of U.S. public companies has fallen by almost half over the past two decades, even though the U.S. economy and the population grew. And the premise, Kevin, I think we've talked about this before, is there's been a number of takeovers. We know there's been a number of consolidations in the industry. And with that, it's like the old supply and demand. When you start having less of something, obviously becomes easier for companies to have higher profits. They're able to fatten their margins a bit. And so that number kind of shocked me a little bit. I didn't realize that it had been cut that much.
A lot of merger acquisition activity, John, especially you look at the credit crisis 10 years ago. And a lot of that activity has occurred since then and related to that.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was again, you can't pinpoint one thing, then we never try to predict why markets go up. But I do think it makes a rational sense of why you're starting to see, at least when you have less opportunities to buy different companies, more things get funneled in. So, Kevin, you got an interesting stat. We were talking off the air maybe before we get a little bit about student loans, because I think student loan debt is always something that's, particularly this time of year with kids coming back to school, might be worth at least pinpointing.
Well, there's a lot of good information, John, of why, you know, if you have a child, student, you know, headed to college this year or 10 years from now, 18 years from now, it's a good reason to plan ahead. As we know, there's a huge amount of student debt, $1.34 trillion to be exact.
Wow.
And I had just commented to you off air, when you turn the clock back 20 years ago, there was only 20 borrowers, 5% of the student loans outstanding that had 50,000 or more. Now it's one out of every six borrowers that have at least $50,000 of outstanding debt. So it's a big number, John.
Man, that's a tough number, Susan, to overcome when you get out of school and you're trying to raise a family, try to get to that next level, but when you know you've got this mountain of debt behind you. And we see it all the time, and we'll talk on future shows about ways to maybe attack that.
We will need to build bigger houses with bigger basements.
Yeah, bigger basements.
People are going to be living in. We'll come back after news with questions about identity theft and how that affects your investment portfolio. More coming up here on WJBC. News. Thank you very much, Maria. I'm Susan Saunders. There were gasps in the studio over the trade of Mike Leake.
That was the best news I heard all day.
Oh, that is a non-Cardinal fan there. That would be
no. I am a Cardinal fan. That's why I'm glad he's gone. He's been disappointing.
Well, then I take that back. Yeah. We have Cardinal fan John Rudy in the studio. Kevin Kingston, who's your ball team?
He's a Cub fan.
Cub fan.
Yeah.
Proudly now.
Oh, always proudly.
Win or lose.
I
was never a doubter. Never a doubter. Mm-hmm. 10:37, I'm Susan Saunders, White Sox fan over here. Just living the dream from many,
covered.
Many years ago. But happy to be on the Cardinals affiliate station. We do have early Cardinals baseball today for the lovers. 12:15 Cardinals baseball. St. Louis at Milwaukee is the schedule today. You'll hear it on WJBC. We're talking money first, though. Identity theft. You hear the commercials all the time about how to protect your identity. Who's looking out for you? What do we really need to know, John Rudy?
Well, there's a lot to know, and it kind of starts. One of the reasons why I picked this topic today, my son Chris in our office got someone tried to hack him last week on a credit card scheme, and they're so believable. I mean, and he was fortunate to recognize it, but
somebody called him.
Yeah, so we hadn't really talked about that much on this show, Kevin, in the time. But I think it's an area when you look at statistics. I wanted to cover a few things, and there's some things I know you want to cover. But first of all, it looks like identity theft has hit 15.4 million Americans last year. And that's a staggering number when you see the damage, the potential damage it can do. And so I wanted to kind of go over what some of the warning signs of what kind of these cyber crimes are. And maybe we can kind of pick out a few things that people can maybe take a look at. But I mean, there's a lot of it. You've seen it happen, and it's a heck of a thing to try to get out of.
And I would include with that, John, phone scams in general.
Yeah.
There's one right now I'll just mention where all they try to do is get you to say on a recorded line, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So they ask, can
you
hear me okay? And all they want you to do is say yes.
Yep.
They take your recorded yes, and then they use that to make purchases that you didn't authorize.
Yeah.
So that's one that's...
Oh, fantastic. This is why I never pick up the phone for a number I don't recognize.
That's a good idea.
So I hope everybody's comfortable leaving a voicemail or sending a text, because then I'll get back to you.
Yeah, that's not a bad thing. But, Kevin, one of the things that maybe it kind of starts with is, you know, oftentimes people see these little charges appear on their credit card, and that's kind of an eye-opener, isn't it, if you see something like that.
Well, so many people, I understand, I'm told, do not even review their credit card statement. They just pay whatever's due, and I think it's a good idea, you know, to review it every statement you receive electronically or in the mail and just make sure they are charges you've made. The credit card companies are pretty good about avoiding fraud. I mean, I've had card companies call me several times and question, are these charges you made or somebody else?
Mm-hmm.
So they're pretty deliberate about that today.
And what these thieves do oftentimes on these credit card deals is they don't make big purchases. Sometimes it's just the little ones that they think people aren't going to recognize, and that kind of goes through. You know, if you charge a lot like I do, I mean, and Kevin pointed out, boy, you need to go down that list of charges just like you would a bank statement to make sure that you're covering all these things, at least to recognize them, because, you know, I mean, it never hurts. The other thing I think that's kind of interesting, Kevin, and I think this article had pointed out, is folks, if you stop getting credit card or debit card statements, you know, oftentimes, Kevin, on these thefts, a thief might change your billing
address.
Yeah,
right.
And that's something you really have to be careful of, don't you? So if you're recognizing that you normally get bills a certain time of month, if they're not coming, and if you're starting to see that pattern, Susan, that's something that you really need to jump on quickly, because boy, Kevin, and again, we've had clients that have gone through it, and the devastation, I mean, just to try to rebuild, it's just a monumental task.
John, is there a good way, with your banking background, is there a good way, or what's the best way for somebody to obtain their own credit report?
Well, there's a lot of different outlets out there right now that you can do that. The one thing that online, Kevin, that you have to be careful of is... I think there's some statistics out there say that you don't want to continue to do it all the time, because
and that's where I was going with that. It's really not a good idea to obtain it online. I know a lot of people do, but what do you suggest?
Well, you usually work through your bank. Work through your bank and do that, or your credit union, whoever you do business with.
I believe you can also get a free copy every 6 months directly from the TransUnions of the world and the Equifaxes of the world.
That's
not a bad place to go.
No, it's not. And that's a good point, Susan, because that's something that, you know, doesn't have a negative impact towards your being able to obtain credit down the road. One of the other things that, before we get to the break, oftentimes, you know, folks might see an unexpected package show up at their home or office. Maybe someone didn't order anything. And sometimes what happens is the thief forgets to change change the shipping address. And that. So, and that's happened to me before. I got to tell you, I got an expensive saw. God forbid, I didn't have any use for a saw. I mean, I wouldn't have operated. But so it shows up at my door one day, and I'm thinking, you know, what the heck happened with that? But and it just had turned out that it was no one had stolen anything from me. But I mean, when you start seeing things like that, it certainly raises your eyebrow. And so I contacted the credit card company and made sure that it got, you know, sent back. And but if you see those kind of things happening, that's just another thing to pay attention
to. Now, do I have to worry about somebody breaking into my online 401k account and readjusting where I have diversified into all of my funds? Do I have to worry about that? Is that the new crime of the century?
I'll tell you.
Haven't seen that one.
Okay. Kevin, I know you always go over whenever you get a 401k, the same thing with a 401k statement. Make sure you still need to go through it, go over it, make sure there's not anything crazy, even though there's a lot of protection, a lot of firewall protection, as you know.
Well, and one of the latest things that is happening is, you know, the cyber theft, cyber security.
Sure.
So, you know, there's a big focus right now on protecting you know, building in firewalls and so forth to protect data from cybersecurity.
We need to take a break. We'll be back with more conversations with Kevin Kingston, John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. They're here every Wednesday from 10 to 11 a.m. giving us their advice for free. And you can always make an appointment at their office as well. First appointment is free, so don't be shy on your questions. We'll be back after this.
The voice of the Illinois State.
48, a couple of minutes left with John Rudy, Kevin Kingston of Kingston Wealth Management. They're here every Wednesday. I'm sorry we can't take live phone calls, but they do take live appointments with Kevin and John and Chris and Mike and all kinds of great people that can help you answer questions about money. No question is a silly question.
No, and you've got some, as I've mentioned before, in the last couple of weeks, your listeners have really been tuning in because we've probably had... I'd say, Kevin, in the last month or two, we probably have more of your listeners contact us to come in and have those reviews done because, you know, they look at it and they think, wow, you know, I haven't really had anybody put a pair of eyes on this, and maybe I'm doing it right, maybe I'm not. Maybe there's things I could be doing differently. And those are the things that the guys answer. So I appreciate you.
It's also hard to figure out who to trust.
It is. And
even if we're trusting you, U of I grads.
Yeah. And I think what you have to do is, you know, you have to be able to... talk about all those things that security, safety, things that we're talking about today, by the way. A couple other points I want to make too, Susan, before we maybe switch to one of the topic. You know, folks, Kevin, from time to time, they'll see a loan app that they've applied for gets rejected, and then they can't believe that because they've always had a high credit score. So if you see that kind of impact, then that's a pretty good idea that maybe somebody's out there doing something identity. And
I liked your suggestion, John, to work with somebody at where your bank to, you know, see what's going on with your credit score. I think that's really good advice.
Yeah, they're making money off me every month. They should do something for me.
Well, and again, the other point about banking too, and I mentioned it at the beginning, you know, don't always assume that it's going to be a big number that they're draining. I mean, if you've got a fairly sizable bank account and it might just be little bits and pieces from time to time, those are always the warning signs and things that you really got to take a look at. You know, one area, Kevin, where there is a little bit of good news is, you know, there was a time when we were having a lot of the federal tax refund identities, Susan, that people were stealing and were able to get a hold of other folks' refund money from IRS. But it says it's been cut by nearly 50,000 from January to May, or 50%, I should say, from January to May of 2017. So the government has put in some firewalls, I think, that have been much, much better. And I think that's a trend that's a very good thing. And I think it just shows that that things can be done if you put those
firewalls. And my understanding is they've limited the number of refunds that can be sent to any one given bank account.
That's exactly right. Hey, so we've got a couple more minutes, Susan, left. And we'll spend some more time on another show about this. But, you know, we talk about all the things that kind of build into wealth in the future. And I read an article and we're talking about what early childhood, we talk about education oftentimes being college and even high school in some respects. But Kevin, quality childhood education is a foundation that children can build better lives for just from out of the box. And one writer said it's the most fiscally sound investments you can make in your children. And I think in this community, there's so many good places that folks can choose and pick out. But one interesting thing is that research shows that early childhood education increases a child's economic, social, and health outcomes. Over the short and long term, it helps children with school readiness, improves high school graduation rates for teens, and has a positive career and health benefits for adults. And it also says Heckman's research indicates that investing in high-quality birth-to-five programs can generate 13% return over time. So sometimes we don't really look at the importance of getting kids off to a good start, and it's not just when they get to school. It's that time beforehand. We've had kids that have been through those programs, Kevin, and you know, I can tell you the better the quality of that program that your child is in, the better chance that it's going to manifest itself as something greater in the future. So I thought it was a great article. It was in the Champaign paper this weekend, and I thought we would just kind of touch on that a little bit.
All right, so it's Labor Day. What's the big plan, gentlemen?
Well, for me, Monday. I'm sure it'll involve something with golf, at least part of the time.
Golf and football.
Golf. Yeah, football. Illinois. I'll go to the Illinois game on Saturday. And
how are you feeling about that?
Not good. Not particularly good.
No. But you got Lovey. You get to see Lovey.
No, it's going to be a long haul, but I think Illinois State's, I think Brock's done such a great job with this program, and I think this community can be proud of what Illinois State's done.
Absolutely.
And I think that, but Illinois is getting there. Football's hard to overcome, but it's going to be a good weekend.
No camping for you this late.
No, my wife's actually going with some girlfriends, so they're going to do a couple days of that, but then she'll be back for part of the weekend.
Ladies have style.
I was invited, but passed.
And Kevin, you've been traveling all over the place. Do you get to stay home for later?
Yeah, I'm going to watch some football and probably play some golf and relax.
Nice. All good.
Kingston Wealth Management office is closed on Monday, I would assume.
Yes, correct.
So nice long weekend. We'll talk to you again next Wednesday. Remember, if you want to make an appointment, they've still got time. Are you closing early on Friday?
We'll be there on Friday. Okay. If they want to reach us at 6-6.
We're closing early on Friday.
We'll be there. You can call us at 663-9477. Always glad to talk to them.
And always happy to have you here on WJBC.
Thanks.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc. Member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Financial Group, Incorporated is a separate entity of Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc., and past performance does not guarantee future results.